Welcome to Baderson. We make up stories, improvised and recorded live. We start each story by choosing a random phrase from a source of text. My name is Casey, and my source is The Science of Sound, 2nd edition, by Thomas D. Rossi.
My name is Mike, and my source is Watership Down by Richard Adams.
My name is Drew, and my source is Middlemarch by George Eliot.
We will now choose a performer at random, and that performer is...
Mike.
Flipping to a random page of Watership Down by Richard Adams. Dragging my finger over the said page, stopping it at a random spot where the words say, "His master was going mad."
The workshop was about 800 feet under the surface of the earth.
It was completely dark except for the candles that burned in the corners and in the overhead chandelier.
Skiff's job was to keep it dark, go to this, keep it dark down there so that the master could do his work, go to the surface and collect sharp things.
The master, Elaine, was always cutting things into pieces as far as Skith could...
Skiff.
As far as Skith could tell, that's what the master's work was all about. And he could not figure out what these things all had in common. She was always cutting different things apart in different ways.
She did not explain much to Skiff. Skiff was a dutiful assistant, spent a lot of time picking up sharp rocks, sharp sticks, sharp pieces of trash, whatever he could find, and always waiting for some pearl of wisdom or some instruction or some kind of education of any kind, and it never came.
He would spend almost all day working, climbing the spiral staircase that ran around the outside of the lair up to the surface, gathering sharp things, coming back down, making sure the right number of candles were lit in the right places so that the room was dark enough to stay dark, but light enough so you could see.
Day and night, of course, hardly mattered down in the lair, and Elaine had some scheme that she had read about where they would sleep for like 14, their day would be like 14 hours, so they would sleep for like 6 and then be up for 8, and then that would just, they called that a day. But when Skiff got to the surface, it might be day, it might be night, it was sort of impossible for him to predict.
And his theory was that there was a sky god who was just randomly making it dark or light up there on the surface, because it didn't line up with his days or nights at all.
And Skith's arrangement with Elaine was that he would work for 9 days, and then on the 10th day, he had a day off. And his favorite thing to do on his day off was go into the village, buy some food, and watch the goat wrestling competitions.
But the goat wrestling competitions were only televised on Tuesday, and his 9-day work week made it so that he never had his day off like reliably on a Tuesday. So his theory was that there was a goat wrestling god who just randomly assigned a day to be goat wrestling day.
And everything else on the TV always seemed so random, too. So he also felt like the goat wrestling god was in league with the TV god to just put whatever on TV with no rhyme or reason to it that had no apparent schedule.
He had grown up basically underground. There were a few communities that had little catacombs and connected tunnels and such underground. And he had spent time on the surface. He knew the ways of the village and television and so on. But most of his hours were logged in a subterranean cavern somewhere. And this arrangement that his parents had set up with Elaine about a year prior was kind of the first time he was really out of the home cave. And he was really excited to learn more about the surface, but just didn't have that much time. And it was pretty bewildering and confusing every time he went up there.
He had, it was his day off and the goats weren't on TV. Instead, it was a show where there was a family and the dad kept saying funny stuff. And the kids would get into trouble. They'd try to hide things from their parents, and the parents would find out, and the kids would learn a lesson. And Skiff hated it. So he didn't even want to relax on his day off. He stole a bunch of sharp things from the TV castle, which was a sports bar, and decided to work that day anyway. And he grabbed a bunch of knives, and he picked up some broken glass outside, and he hauled it back down to the lair.
And when he got down to the lair, he was shocked because he came upon Elaine. She had way more candles burning than there were normally burning. The room was fully illuminated, and she was dissecting a human body with a scalpel. And she had never, he'd never seen her. She had cut open so much different kind of stuff, but she'd never even cut open an animal that he had ever seen. It was always fruits, vegetables, packages, machines, pieces of wood, all different kinds of stuff, but never an animal.
And she said, Skiff, I'm glad you're here. There's still time. And he said, time for what, master? And she said, to breathe life into this poor soul. And she was taking rotting pieces of organ out of this old cadaver and removing fingers and peeling off skin. And but talking like she was trying to save this person.
And this just really unnerved Skiff. And he said, I thought I was going to work today, but you know what? I'm going to go see if maybe goat wrestling's on a different channel. And he made tracks and headed back up to the surface in a hurry.
And he went back to the TV castle because he had seen that that program with the funny dad and the kids who got into trouble and who learned lessons. And an episode.
When the dad hides things.
The kids hide things.
The kids hide things.
And the parents find out and teach them a lesson.
This was a spinoff. It was a spinoff from a show where the dad hid things.
And there had been an episode of that show where the dad's mom had forgotten some of the family members' names and gotten lost when they went to the mall, and they put her into a facility where some professionals could take better care of her. She wasn't able to live independently alone. And Skiff thought, this is where my master is now. She's lost her grip. I've never actually seen what she did before, but seeing her in all that candlelight, picking apart this corpse and talking about bringing it back to life, I think she's unwell and she needs help. And so he prayed to the TV gods to show that same episode again where the dad's mom went into memory care.
And while he was praying to the TV gods, this really cute guy sat down next to him at the bar
and said, hey, I've noticed you in here a lot recently. Are you you doing okay? And Skiff said, actually, I am a little concerned. My master's dissecting a cadaver right now. And
Skiff was totally guileless. He had never, he was an open book. He had never been in a situation where he had to obscure any information or anything. He just let it out.
He also was very lonely and didn't really have anybody to talk to. And so if anybody ever struck up a conversation, Skiff would talk a lot. And this cute guy listened very politely and said, hey, I'll tell you what, I think maybe I can get you some help. Why don't you come with me? The police station is just, it's just a block away.
Now, the police in the village, they really, they didn't like to mess with the underground community if they didn't have to. It was more of a let those people take care of their own problems. We're going to take care of things up here on the surface. Those the underground people have their own ways and they have their own social norms. And the police tried to respect that, but not really out of a sensitivity thing, more that it was just like a really big hassle to get involved with the goings on underground.
And the police pegged Skiff for an undergrounder just by his skin.
Complexion, yeah.
Yeah. And the way he prayed to the sky god.
Had to wear sunglasses anytime he was
above ground. Outside. So the police brush him off, and the cute guy, whose name was Johan, said, look, Skiff, I'll tell you what. I'm really good with people. Why don't you take me to your Elaine? Is that what your master's name is? Why don't you take me to Elaine, and I'll just see, I'll just talk to her a little bit, and I'll give you my read on the situation.
And Skiff agreed and took him to the spiral staircase, and they were entering down into the lair, and Johan was getting a little more nervous as he was taking in the scene, and they entered to the dimly lit chamber. And
part of this, Johan was legitimately interested in helping Skiff, but he was also curious because he had never been to the underground community, so he thought this would be an opportunity to get a peek at something he'd heard a lot about.
And they entered the chamber, and Elaine was sitting quietly on a dilapidated rocking chair. That was some of the only furniture in the shop. And looked up. Skiff had imagined Elaine was going to be shocked that he had brought another person into the workshop, because that was strictly forbidden. But she seemed pretty calm about it. And her eyes were a little wide, and she said, oh, you have arrived.
And sure enough, Johan delivered. He was really good with Elaine, and he talked to her, and she ended up admitting that she really was having a hard time, and that the whole corpse thing kind of was a cry for help. And she was really grateful that Skith had brought Johan, and Johan convinced her to go into memory care.
It was hard for her to adjust, of course. There were no below-ground memory care facilities in the village, but they had some rooms that were sort of decorated and managed. The light was managed to make underground people feel a little more comfortable.
And Skiff lived kind of in both worlds now. He kept the schedule he'd always known of his sleep and wake schedule, and the facility gods just would have visiting hours and no rhyme or reason, but he would visit Elaine as often as he could.
One day when he was visiting with Elaine, an orderly came up and sort of put a gentle hand on his shoulder and was like, Skiff, could I talk to you in the other room for a minute, Skiff? And Skiff obliged, and they walked into the other room and sat down in a couple comfortable chairs. And this wasn't an orderly, it turned out. It was a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist started asking Skiff some questions, asked him if he'd ever been diagnosed with any unusual mental conditions, if he'd had a psychiatric evaluation done. And Skiff said, no, I've never received any such care. And they kept talking for a little while, and the psychiatrist
said, "Pretty much, I collect sharp things, and I keep the place dark.
I do. We have a dentist underground, but other than that, I've never had any medical treatment whatsoever."
The psychiatrist was sort of chewing on the end of his pen quietly for a few seconds, and said, "Skiff, I have reason to believe you might be suffering from some delusions." And I think maybe you could benefit from some care here in the facility as well.
And Johan visited Skiff a few days later, and Skiff was doing some art. And Johan said, "Oh, that's a really beautiful picture." And Skiff said, "Yeah, that's Elaine.
Dissecting a cadaver."
And Johan said, "Have you seen Elaine lately?" And Skiff said, "Now that you mention it, I guess it's been a while." And Johan said, "When's the last time you saw her?" And he said, "I don't know, but I know it was here. I think it was in that room." And you know, Johan is really good with people. And in this conversation, he got Skiff to realize that Elaine was a figment of his imagination. He had lived alone in that hole in the ground. There was no master except in his own warped brain.
And it was hard for Skith to have his world upended like that, to have his reality unmasked. But he did feel sort of liberated by the revelation, because he was always worrying about Elaine. He was worrying if he had done the right thing, and he was worrying if she was thriving in this memory care facility, or if really her life would be better back in the pit. And so he felt better, even though he felt confused that why his family had set him up in this situation. And they started to question how that had all gone down too. So Johan agreed to go with him to talk to his family.
They walked up a little gravel driveway and knocked on the door of a sort of ramshackle one-story house. And his family came out and immediately started weeping. They fell to their knees. They hadn't seen Skiff in a long time. They'd reported him missing. His name wasn't Skiff when he lived with them. It was Chuck. And they were just overcome with joy and embracing him. And
it was a huge family. It was multi-generational. And it was multiple bloodlines, because like, the in-laws would, like, it was such a warm and loving family. There were 30 people living in like this one big house and some outbuildings that used to be for farming and stuff, and a yurt and some post house
trailers. And they welcomed Chuck back immediately, because they were a warm and loving family. But it wasn't all good times, because there was a really sharp detective named Detective Janowitz who had pieced together that Chuck, as Skiff, had committed a ton of crimes. He had stolen a lot of stuff. And he had taken a body from the mortuary into that pit, and he was the one who had dissected that body. And so there was a trial where he had lots of criminal charges against him,
and he denied doing it because he remembered it differently. But Johan took the stand and said, "No, yeah, he did do that. I saw it." And he was so good. The jury, his testimony
was very persuasive. And the fact that
the prosecution
Chuck showed no remorse whatsoever, they threw the book at him.
And ironically, he ended up back in the same care facility where he had been. And the kindly psychiatrist was able to give him some more care.
The good thing, though, was that he was there every Tuesday.
On a very regimented schedule. He had a very strict schedule of mealtime, recreation time, TV time.
He never missed goat wrestling. The end.
The end.
Baderson's stories are improvised and recorded live over the internet. We clean up the audio, but we don't edit, rehearse, or redo any content, for better or worse. Subscribe and find other stuff we do at Baderson.com. And remember, if you're ever wrestling with a story, make sure you check your calendar.